We got Megan Barth. Summer is over. She's come back from beautiful Tahoe, and she's here.
I am.
In person. Live freezing. And in person.
Yes.
Freezing. It is cold out there.
It is.
Cold and windy and nasty. Welcome to Seattle.
Yeah.
But we are in Las Vegas, but it's imitating Seattle today.
I was just in Nashville yesterday. It was 19 degrees. Global warming.
Yeah, Nashville's pretty cold in the winter. It's got its moments.
Yeah, I noticed.
So it's not as warm as Vegas in general, by the way. People think it is. It's not.
And not as fun.
It's high up in the mountains, right? That's why it's cold. It's in the mountains kind of Nashville, right?
Well, it's within the mountains,
yeah.
Right? So, yeah.
All right. So her website's ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com. What's happening with Media Equalizer, by the way?
We're doing really good.
What are you guys doing nowadays? What's the big movement of the day?
The big movement of the day is just what we continue to do to keep the press honest. It's associated with the Media Equality Project, of which I'm co-chair, and we do a lot of PR work. We're growing by leaps and bounds. It's a great site. It's developing into a great site, and we're just a year old, so it's good to see the growth.
Well, we need this site, and we need people fighting for us.
That's
but
right.
I will say one negative thing. You're not having any effect on keeping the media honest because it's impossible to keep the media honest. You couldn't do it no matter how hard you tried. If Wayne, your chairman, wouldn't make any difference, the media will never be honest. They are liberal. They are our opposition. As Trump says, they're our enemy. They're the enemy of a free America, a free and fair America. They're the enemy of Fox News is saying fair and balanced. There's no fair and balance in the media. There's none. Zero. Zip. They would never report things straight if their life depended on it.
Yeah, and we're the watchdog as well, the intersection of tech and government and media. And we're witnessing right now what Twitter is doing by destroying conservative voices and only conservative voices. Do you know they just banned CJ Pearson, the young black kid, the young conservative on Twitter?
On what grounds?
I'd have no idea. It just happened within the last hour. Laura Loomer had handcuffed her.
Today.
Laura Loomer had handcuffed herself to
Twitter headquarters.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
You and I have an agreement 90% of the time. Sometimes we disagree. Was it brilliant?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's too much. No, it's not. It's absolutely not too much.
Because you get a,
and the reason
you get
why it
image
is not
as a,
too much
as a flamethrower. You just don't win with that. You lose all credibility with that.
No, she doesn't. She just owned the Twitter sphere. She is banned on the platform, yet she was trending on the platform.
I know she's trending.
This is her statement of silencing of conservatives, specifically by the big tech monopoly like Twitter, who can choose and pick to promote the anti-Semites like Linda Sasseur and Louis Farrakhan and not bat an eye. But she points out female genital mutilation. She points out Sharia law. And what Twitter has done is completely silence her. You know, did conservatives just stand by and say, oops, well, there goes Alex Jones. He's been completely deplatformed on any sort and demonetized by a monopoly of tech giants who are extraordinarily progressive and so liberal. Did anyone bat an eye? Well, no. Many ridiculed Alex Jones. And the number one thing we have as conservatives is our voice. And once they take away our voice, they take away our power. Just like they're rigging elections, they take away our power. Just like they've rigged algorithms,
I agree with you.
Power.
I just think that sometimes when you handcuff yourself, you look like a fool. That goes too far. Pick at the headquarters.
Disagree.
Don't handcuff yourself to the front door. Come on.
Disagree.
That's something liberals do, and it's idiotic.
It is a civil way to protest. Liberals, how they protest is they use Antifa, and they use jackbooted thugs in order to take rocks and bang them up against the side of the head.
It's not a civil way to protest.
It is a civil way to protest.
It's a crime to handcuff yourself to the front door of a corporation. It's a crime. Now, thank God Twitter agreed not to press charges today.
Did anyone get hurt?
No, I didn't say she's
violent.
Was
the point made?
I don't know if the point was made. I think first of all, the point wasn't made because no one's going to cover it. No one's going to cover it.
I would be right there with her cheering her on.
I agree with you to cheer her on. I just don't agree that it gets you anywhere to handcuff yourself to a front door. That's all I'm saying. She's right. Conservatives are getting screwed. I get it. But handcuffs? I don't know. It's like an essay. We'll be right back. All right, Megan Barth is in studio. We've had our debate for the day. We'll agree on everything else. By the way, we agree. I love Laura Loomer. She's on my show all the time. I just think sometimes she goes too far. She just is trying to attract attention to a terrible, terrible thing that's going on. Twitter and Facebook and others are trying to censor us. I get it, but I just would never handcuff myself to a door.
You might not like her tactics.
I think the larger question
that we need to ask as conservatives is, especially of our elected officials, is what the hell are they doing about it? And right now they're not doing anything. Is the right mobilizing against this censorship? To a certain extent, I've led some campaigns, etc. But what we really need is this uprising, this mobilization, the fight back, which Laura demonstrates each and every day. You might not like her tactics again. You might not like how she fights, but she's fighting.
All right. I got it. And by the way, I'll even go further than your statement just now. You said, is the right responding? To some extent they are. I don't think they're responding at all.
Well, right now they're investigating Jack for perjury, for lying to Congress.
The head of Twitter.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, the head of Twitter.
Yeah.
He lied to Congress. And many people have lied to Congress, and they've done absolutely nothing about it. Unless, of course, now you're Michael Cohen in the grasp of Mueller, and he's facing perjury charges. Well, so should Hillary Clinton. So should James Comey. So should Jack, the founder of Twitter.
Right. All right. There you go. Let's talk a little bit about the health issues of these migrants in the caravan. 1/3 of migrants in the caravan treated for health issues is the line I've got here that you wanted to discuss. But I've actually got a little more in depth. Tijuana Health Department says thousands of caravan members have HIV, tuberculosis, or parasites. Ew.
Yeah.
Can I say that? Ew.
And can we stop calling them migrants and call them invaders? Because if they were asylum seekers, they would have sought asylum in Mexico, and Mexico generously offered them asylum. If they were asylum seekers from political prosecution, they wouldn't be waving the Honduran flag, the flag of their oppressors. So let's just stop calling them caravan members or migrants or asylum seekers and call them exactly what they are, which is invaders.
And by the way, before you read that, I just want to mention the new study is out, and 7 out of 10 residents of Tijuana do not like the caravan members, think that they are invaders. Anyway,
yes, and they've said that.
Continue with the health
story.
Now,
of the 6,000 migrants residing in Tijuana, over 1/3 of them, 2,267, are being treated for health-related issues. 3 are confirmed cases of tuberculosis, 4 cases of HIV/AIDS, and 4 separate cases of chickenpox. At least 101 migrants have lice. They have multiple instances of skin infections.
Parasites.
Parasites. Ugh. And also there is a threat of hepatitis outbreak due to the unsanitary conditions. Now, the mayor Tijuana. He has Juan Manuel Gastelum said Tuesday that the city has enough money to assist the migrants only for a few more days. The city is saying it's spending around $30,000 a day. He said, we won't compromise the resources of the residents of Tijuana. We won't raise taxes tomorrow to pay for today's problems.
Isn't that funny? Sounds like Trump.
Does he? Yeah.
It sounds like
because
the
Democrats want to raise taxes and also want catch and release. So when these, open border freaks on the left basically just say, oh, come on in. Don't worry. We might catch you. We might not. But we'll definitely release you. You can take your tuberculosis, your AIDS, your parasites, and go to whatever community you would like to infect.
Don't forget your lice. Don't forget your lice. All this wonderful stuff. Look, I've been arguing all along, by the way. I'll throw in another one. I read this on during yesterday's show. There was an article out that no one's talking about this. There's a terrible polio-like disease spreading across America to children.
Right.
And they go to bed with a sore throat and they wake up paralyzed from the neck down.
Mm-hmm. And do you know where the origin of that virus is from?
Well, I don't know. I was just guessing that could be something brought to America by
Honduras.
Yeah. Yeah, so
and I wrote about the viral and deadly diseases of legal and illegal immigration. That is the title of it. They can find it on ReaganBabe.com. The CDC buried tuberculosis data and outbreaks because they wanted to be PC and not smear. Right.
Right. It's been extinguished in the United States for many years, but all these immigrants are illegal immigrants are bringing it back into the country.
Right.
And why would we not go back to in the 1910s, 1920s, 1930s, America accepted millions of legal immigrants through Ellis Island, and they were tested for disease, and they were sent back if they were diseased.
And infirmed.
And they were sent back if they didn't have a relative waiting who would vouch for them that wouldn't allow them to need welfare or social services.
Ellis Island worked really well.
Right.
And we have multiple ports of entry, legal ports of entry, I think 46. These invaders could have chosen. These supposed asylum seekers chose not to use the legal ports of entry and chose to storm our southern border and act violently by throwing rocks against our law enforcement officials.
Now, here's the problem, Megan, and this is a big problem. Trump is, you know, look, I'm a big fan of Trump. Obviously, he's the best we could have possibly gotten. But he talks big and doesn't always deliver what he talks about. So, you know, he's the one who said, we're not going to allow you to be lawbreakers. We're going to arrest you when you come across the border. So when 42 of them got through the other day, 42 were arrested. Do you know it came out today that none of them will be prosecuted? Now, I don't know if
Will they be deported?
I didn't say a word about that. I think that means they're in the country now and they have to have their asylum case. And they got in. So you're incentivizing people to attack and to get in because there is no retribution. There's no penalty or punishment for being a bad person. If you wait on the other side, you'll never get in. So you might as well attack and get in.
Well, and this is what the liberal judge out of San Francisco or the Ninth Circuit ruled against
Ninth Circuit.
Always. And that's why they're the most overturned court in the country. 89% of their cases are overturned once they reach the Supreme Court. Why? Because they are unconstitutionally sound. They are activist judges.
Well, I was talking about this yesterday, and I was saying, listen, look, first of all, I've been on record as being a very pro-gay Republican. I've been very nice to gay people. I always said, if you want to get married, get married. I don't care. I've always said that's fine. I've always been very nice on that issue. It's not a big issue for me, one way or the other. But I've met many gay people in my life. I produce TV shows. They're very fine people. No problems. Like Trump would say the same thing. So I'm allowed to say this, okay? These judges, these activist judges in San Francisco, are probably either gay themselves, they live in a gay neighborhood in San Francisco, filled with transsexuals, filled with wild-eyed extreme radicals. And if they ever ruled against immigrants one time, even if it's the most reasonable common sense ruling in the world, they'd be run out of town on the third rail. They'd be tarred and feathered. They could never walk out of their house in safety again in radical gay liberal neighborhoods of San Francisco. But if they rule against Trump on the Ninth Circuit, and they have to live in these radical neighborhoods in San Francisco filled with wild-eyed extreme liberals, they're probably put up, they probably have a chair and they raise them in the air and they walk them through parades and they walk them through the gay parade and they bounce them up and down and they high-five them. Do you understand? You can't live in the same way Senator Collins of Maine went against the liberals and supported Kavanaugh. What did the liberals say? She'll never be able to eat out again without being publicly shamed.
And she was sent ricin.
Right. So my point is, these judges, not only do they have extreme radical left thinking, maybe some of them actually common sense comes through occasionally. And then they think about, oh, my God, I have kids. How would they go to school if I supported Trump on one ruling?
Well, and you just
God, how would I walk through the street if I supported Trump on one ruling?
Well, and you just illustrated the intolerant left. You just
right.
illustrated the violent left.
Right.
And that's something that the left, of course, always
crazy
accuses
left.
Us of.
Like, mentally
we're not
ill.
Well, absolutely.
Right.
When you are holding up severed heads of presidents, when you are watching assassination porn and cheering and clapping at the assassination of a man, an innocent man, when you find that to be entertainment, you have to be mentally ill.
Well, by the way, I never heard that term before. What is assassination porn? What is that?
Assassination
mean?
Porn. They had assassination porn in Central
Careful,
Park.
Careful, you're on the radio, so say it politely in a
porn.
Nice way. But what is it?
Well, it was,
it's just
it was,
watching people being assassinated? And you're...
Well, yeah, like they had Julius Caesar in Central Park, remember? And the liberals were cheering because Caesar looked like Trump and he
so
was stabbed
you
to
mean
death.
Porn in the way that they're looking at it and they're getting pleasant feelings because they
Correct.
See someone's head getting lopped
getting off
as conservative.
It.
Got it.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure what it meant. That's
yeah, they're cheering it. They're getting off on it. They're
right.
clapping.
Yeah. Got it. Liberals are nuts. They're just nuts. And by the way, speaking of porn, when we get back, Robert Mueller's FBI gave Orgy Island billionaire Jeffrey Epstein an easy go. And so, you know, for these people who think Mueller's a good guy, he was involved with the Boston mob. He did terrible things up there involving the Boston mob. Now you see he gave an easy go to a guy who had an Orgy Island where I think Bill Clinton 36 trips on to Orgy Island or 36 trips on the Lolita Express and to Orgy Island. And these guys are all in bed together. It's collusion. It's conspiracy. They don't care about you and me. They're all dirty as they have to be in order to get that Swiss bank account payment. I wouldn't trust Mueller as far as I could spit at him. When we get back, we got more with Megan Barth. Then it's time in about 15 minutes for my national TV show on Newsmax TV. War Now, Wayne Allyn. All right, we've got Megan Barth back. She's got the websites Reagan Babe and MediaEqualizer.com. Welcome back, Megan.
Thank you.
Good to have you back in person, by the way.
It's good to be in studio with you.
Even though I bit your head off in the first segment.
That's
but other than that,
back.
It's okay.
I bit back.
The Illinois House has erased. I like the way she does that. The Illinois House has erased from its record a Democratic legislator's remark, a really disgusting remark towards a GOP colleague. Why don't you tell us about that remark, Megan?
Sure. This is Stephanie Kifowitz, I believe her name is pronounced. And she was basically ushered in through the leading Democrat who's entirely corrupt. You know, Illinois is all corrupt. But the Illinois House took the rare step Wednesday of erasing from the record this woman's remark suggesting she'd like to infect the water supply of a GOP colleague's loved ones with a broth of Legionella.
Which is Legionnaire's disease.
Which is Legionnaire's disease. It's deadly. Rep. Stephanie Kifowitz apologized for the indelicate comment. This is how they report it. The indelicate comment. Not the death threat. The indelicate comment she made about Lombard Republican Peter Breen on the floor during a debate involving the deadly Legionnaire's crisis at the Quincy Veterans Home. And so in this debate, she threatened to dirty the water supply, killing his family with Legionnaire's disease. And then she, of course, stated, that's not what I said. I said, you know, what if someone... And she tried to totally change her answer. The record reflected absolutely differently. And so what did the Illinois Democrats do? They simply expunged and erased the record.
Well, no different than this Lamont Hill guy, right? What's his full name? Something Lamont Hill. And
Mark.
He's Mark Lamont Hill on CNN. He gave a speech in front of the UN. I don't know if you, when you were driving over, usually you're listening to my show. Did you hear me say, can you imagine that he was ever allowed to give a speech in front of the United Nations?
Right.
Why would you choose him to give a UN speech? Because the UN thinks just like him.
Exactly.
Because there are a bunch of radical Arab countries and Muslim countries in the audience, and they all hate Israel, and they all want to see Israel destroyed from sea to shining sea.
And that's the charter, what he said. And that's the phrase that Hamas uses.
Right.
So this wasn't something that he just spoke of and didn't read about. I mean, he's a professor, right? I mean, he's speaking at the UN. Obviously, he's supposedly a bright person. He knew that that was the chant of Hamas.
I think he's like a Fordham professor, if I'm not mistaken. He was at one point when he was on Bill O'Reilly's show, a professor at Fordham University in New York, if I remember correctly. And he's just always, I watched him and I'd say how radical he was. Right. But I mean, he's gone to another level now. He's like a brother with the Palestinians. We're brothers. And, you know, the Jewish people are no good. And Israel's got to be destroyed. And they could do anything they want, any level of violence, because Israel practices ethnic cleansing. I don't know. I've never seen Israel practice ethnic cleansing. Last I remember, Israel shoots at people that are shooting at them. But those people who are Muslim extremists in the Palestinian Liberation Army put women and children to the front of the line. Right. So when we shoot back at the bad guys, you hit a woman or a child and you accuse Israel of ethnic cleansing.
Like the invaders on our southern border.
They're using human shields.
Right. Just like the invaders on our southern border.
Right. That's
I mean, if they were really, I mean, let's look at the men, the 95% of men of the invaders at the southern border. If they were fearing for their lives, why did they leave the women and children behind? Why didn't they stay and fight against their oppressive government?
Right. Right. Exactly.
So, you know, I don't see much difference. This is the leftist thought that power must be achieved through violence. Power can be capitalized or increased through chaos. And the left's whole modus operandi is to create chaos, whether manufactured chaos or capitalize on chaos.
The whole key now is whether Trump follows through. If we are allowed to fight back without two hands tied behind our back and one leg tied behind your back, because, again, Trump retweeted, you know, and this has nothing to do with the top of your tone. It's just the general overall, can we fight back against liberals? Trump retweeted that meme that shows Mueller going to prison and Hillary going to prison and Obama going to prison and the FBI leader Comey going to prison. And did he do that because he knows he's about to really go after these people and put him in prison? Or is it always like a mind game and nothing's ever going to really happen? That's the million-dollar question, Meg.
Well, that's the million-dollar question we're all asking, because as long as there's no accountability, there will always be lawlessness.
All right, we're headed to a break, and then it's time. The break is 1 minute long, and then I'm right back at you on Newsmax TV. So we're going to hike out of here with Megan, and Wayne Root's going to pop back in, turn on the lights, turn on the camera, and be ready to go with Newsmax TV and Channel 349, DirecTV, Channel 216 on Dish Network, and many cable systems around the country. Megan, thank you for
another
wonderful appearance.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you again next Thursday. Wayne Allyn Root, War Now, USA Radio, right back at you.
Mm-hmm. I wish myself.